I'm very pleased to welcome back to Fremantle Shipping News, Simone McGirt. Welcome back, Simone.
You've got no idea how glad I am to be here as the member of Fremantle, Michael.
Well, congratulations. You got home. It was a close-run thing. I've said on the Shipping News, writing it up, that I think the people of Fremantle really enjoyed the theatre of it all, but I'm sure you and Kate Hewlett would have liked an easier, sharper outcome than what you had. What was the final count?
There were just under 26,000 votes cast, so 25,960. And when it came down to two candidates preferred, or two-party preferred, as you talk about it, between Kate Hewlett and myself, I won by 424 votes.
424 votes. Well, it just shows you that every vote counts, and the democratic right to vote is important, and you can't grumble if you didn't vote. And there's the outcome. Well, as I say, congratulations, you've got back. And you've also recently been appointed to some new portfolios. You were previously the Minister for a lot of things, including industrial relations. You've retained industrial relations, but you're also the Minister for Creative Industries, which sounds exciting, Heritage, which to me sounds even more exciting, and Aged Care and Seniors, which I'm ecstatic about because I'm in that category, but I'm not in the women category. So they look like interesting portfolios. Perhaps we'll come back and talk about them in a moment, but why do you think, have you been able to analyse it, or is it best not to think about why it came down to that handful of votes in the end?
I think it was a number of things. And first of all, I've said publicly, and I'll just repeat, credit to everyone else that ran, but particularly to Kate's campaign. It was well-resourced, it was creative, it obviously resonated with a lot of voters, so credit to her. I'm also glad that I did a lot of what we call voter contact, that's door knocking and phoning, but particularly door knocking, I was doing that a year out. And I've always tried to maintain a presence in the community by running sort of what we call open air offices, and, you know, keeping in contact with people as much as I can. And I'm very glad I did that because a lot of people said that they'd seen me at their school, or, you know, they've seen me around, and acknowledge that contact. So that was important, and it shows. As to why the vote was so close, I think my perception, a couple of things. One is people care about the physical location of Fremantle, inner Fremantle. That was discussed a lot. And that's an ongoing challenge, I think, for us. For instance, empty retail shops was a topic of conversation. Now, I'd be interested to hear what the practical solutions to empty retail shops are. I've talked to a lot of people about it. I don't know that there are that many policies or changes that in state government control that we can put in place that would make a difference there, but I'm open to ideas. But I think people do want to see that their state government, local government, federal governments cares about the physical location of inner Fremantle. So I think that was one of the issues. I also think just on the kind of communications, so the style of the campaign resonated with people. So Fremantle people have demonstrated in the past that they're kind of anti-establishment. Kate Hewlett talked a lot about people being a bit disillusioned with the major parties. It's true that we have been around for a long time, the Labor Party, so we've got an extra burden, I think, in talking to people effectively and communicating with them and talking to them about what we're doing. And Kate had good creatives in her social media, for instance, so that obviously resonated with the creative community and parts of the electorate.
It really is interesting. As you know, on Friday mornings with Professor Martin Drum, I do a podcast called View from the Roundhouse, and we reflect on politics generally, state, federal, international. But there is this declining support for the major parties, the growth of the Teals federally and the relative success of the Teal-like candidates in Churchland's Cottesloe and here in Fremantle tells you something about perhaps what voters are looking for. It seems that in many respects they're looking for people who are champions of their local community, Just how that translates into political action, I'm not entirely sure. But there is that sense that that people want to see action. And that sort of leads to the question, I suppose, during the next 4 years, as a member for Fremantle, as well as the Minister of all those portfolios I've mentioned, can you imagine doing things differently? And if so, what would the difference be?
I think there's a heavy responsibility on me to do things differently and to understand that I and our government will send a message in this election. I think it would be foolish and churlish not to accept that message. I also want to find ways to say to people that we need to look at the substance of what is happening and what's being proposed in any candidate, whether it's the major parties, independents, minor parties, anyone, for people to feel genuinely connected to those decisions and those people that are running. So I think that's a real challenge to communicate that effectively. That's why we prioritise conversations, because I think that's, you know, when you're actually having a conversation, you can hear people, you can respond to them, they can see the whites of your eyes, and I think it does make a difference. So we've always prioritised that. I mean, if you look at where that sort of style over substance has gone in the wrong direction, you can just look at the world stage and see that sometimes I think very cynical methods of communication are sending a very dangerous message in the US, for instance. So I think it is important that we urge people to feel connected to their local representatives, talk to them, challenge them, and ask what they are doing for them, their families, and their communities. So you asked me what I intend to do differently. It's not just a style of communication that I think there's a challenge on myself and the state government. But there's also policies themselves in terms of Fremantle and, the environment came up. But so did local schools, so did health, and so did cost of living. Some of those responses or issues, people were pleased that the state governments manage the finances and keeping things working as an economy. So that was good. We're a stable government. We're a united government. So I think people did respond to that. But there's obviously more to do on all of those areas that I spoke about.
It struck me that Fremantle people, being as bolshy as they are and having views about things like AUKUS and things about the environment and the fact that the Albanese government, at the behest of the Cook government, of which you remember, shelved the Nature Positive Laws legislation just out from the state election, I think probably hit the wrong vibe in Fremantle. But I noticed Federal Labor are going to the election, which will probably be on my birthday on the 10th of May coming up, reinstating the Nature Positive legislation, saying they'll pass it. I mean, it sent a very strange message to the community when they changed their position.
We talked about this the last time I was on your podcast, and I said this is a matter for the federal government, and I've had a good relationship with Tania Plibersek, particularly as previously as the water minister, and she was the federal water minister. I've known Tania for a long time. And I'm actually really proud of some of the things that we've done as a state government on the environment, particularly on energy transition. And when I was talking to people on the doors and through the election, they seemed impressed by that and seemed to not realise that amount of work was being done. I mean, we're the only state government to get out of coal. That is not insignificant. Is there more work to be done? Yes, of course there is. And I think the urgency and the concern that people have about climate change and global warming is real, and we need to be responding to that, be seen to be responding to that. But in terms of the work that we're doing on the environment, as I said before, and I said during the election, I'm actually proud of that. It's not to say that we haven't got more to do.
I wear a few hats of mine. One of them is as a member of the board of the Centre for Public Integrity, a national non-profit, which is really engaged in a long-running democracy project. I've been interviewing a range of people in a podcast series on that very topic, including a number of the Teals, as well as the Federal Attorney General. Mark Dreyfus recently and some of the Green senators from around the country. One thing that sort of impressed me when talking to the Teals, who just have to worry about their own domain, is how they communicate with their own electorates, seeking to have quite direct conversations with people, setting up meetings in town to talk about whatever the topic might be. And I've been thinking to myself, perhaps that model of local communication, not just one-on-one knocking on doors, but community events, for example, you've got a new ministry talking about the creative industries in Fremantle, whether that sort of activity would be worth considering. What do you think?
Yeah, I guess it's sometimes called deliberative democracy, where you talk to people as groups and try and get...
And work out what your position should be. Yes.
On things. I don't want to underestimate how much we do that now in terms of... I was on Sunday with a group of residents at Whitcombe Valley, actually, who are upset about some antisocial behaviour and an issue in their community. So they were having a meeting and I agreed to go along with one of my staff and we spent an hour talking about those issues locally for those residents. So, and I'll often meet a group of residents here, but whether they're kind of town hall type meetings, unless they're specifically asked for, probably not as much. I heard Josh Wilson speaking yesterday on the media about the independent Kate running against him.
Yes.
And he made the point about what an independent can actually achieve in government, being a voice in government. And I really would urge people to think about what they expect can occur, what they think can happen with an independent. I understand there's frustration with the there's an allegation of sort of frustration with the major parties. Are they the kind of, too big to people have a voice in them? I absolutely have a voice in my party. I've been a member almost consistently. I did work for the media for a short time, so I resigned my membership then, but since I was 18 or 19. And I've absolutely had a say in our policy and think that we have achieved a lot as a group, as a collective. Mm-hmm. And Josh was making this point that if you think about the things that we can achieve and we stand for as as Labor, then we can only achieve those if we are in government and we operate as a group. And so I think those things are really important to impress and to communicate to people and to talk to people about.
At the same time, I'm sure none of the major parties forget the fact that Kodak used to be a business once. BlackBerry, one of the great mobile phones, was a business once. And things come and go. They don't last forever. Political parties are subject to change. Those things that don't change usually wither and die. So I'm sure everybody's thinking about how they communicate. So the example I put to you is really a means of encouraging on important issues which are community-wide, not just a neighbourhood dispute in Whitcombe Valley, but talking about the sort of things that are in your portfolios. Let's talk about your portfolios. I mentioned them earlier, creative industry, heritage, aged care and seniors, women and industrial relations. Now, does one of those get you excited?
Oh, look, all of them.
You have to say all of them.
Yeah, I do. And the creative industries is really exciting. I mean, that is formerly called culture and the arts. It's an acknowledgement, I think, by the Premier that we've talked about Made in WA, we've talked about diversifying our economy. And like any other venture, our creative industries need to be nurtured, need to be supported, and they can be important drivers of economic activity, but also so much more than that in our cities, in our regional towns, and in our suburbs and in remote areas. So I'm really excited about the creative industries portfolio. And I'm really excited about the Premier's commitment to it. You're probably aware, but his wife works in the arts, and Carly, and I know that he's personally really committed to the creative industries generally. So we could talk quite a bit about that. I also know that people in Fremantle care a lot about that. And there are a lot of creatives that have decided to come and live in Fremantle. So I'll be watched carefully in that portfolio.
Yes, I mean, at the same time, we've seen the Fremantle Theatre Company close its doors just in the last few days. Circus WA seems to struggle to find a home. Spare Parts Theatre Company just over the road from your electorate office has its own story to tell. It's a tough gig, isn't it? And how you encourage the creative industries. And at the same time, I mean, creative service industries seem to cover just about everything under the sun, and then cultural production industries, of which we've got a number in the Fremantle area, film, television, writing, publishing. As I say, the performing arts a little bit on the wane. I mean, how does one as a new minister in relation to a portfolio like that get informed? How do you? I mean, you'll have senior bureaucrats will come in and give you papers to read, but how do you go about?
They give me telephone books to read.
Telephone books.
I can imagine. I do get briefed, and then by the agency, but I also reach out to stakeholders. So. Peak bodies, individual organisations, and then I'll go out and start to look at, the major components of our, creative establishments in Western Australia. I'll make time to go out and talk to them. Of course, we've got some big projects going on. The film studios are not being built in Fremantle, but they are being built coming to completion, actually, so that'll be really exciting to have a look at, and then support the activity in that industry. I think that'll be really important. We're investing in the cultural centre in Perth, and also in other establishments within Perth, as well as within ECU, Edith Cowan University, Whopper. We'll have a new home in the city. So there's lots that's exciting. So that's within physical infrastructure upgrades that we're doing. We've got the Aboriginal Cultural Centre that we're building, and I have overall responsibility for that. It's a big project. And I don't want to lose... So there are infrastructure issues relating to creative industries, but of course... It's what happens in those buildings, and what happens, as I said before, I mentioned our cities, but also our suburbs, our regional centres, and in our remote communities. So that's really important as well. So look, to answer your question, I read, I go out and meet people, I get out and look at the places that they're working in and operating in, and start to develop my own views about this. And financial support is, of course, a big part of the picture. But when I had community services, I encountered this issue where state government or government funding is important, but it is not the be and end all, because state governments and governments come and go. State government funding can come and go. So organisations do need to have sustainable models if they're going to be effective in the long run.
And then there's... In a sense, they're the big ticket items, and you've got the people, the creative artists,
right.
The visual arts, and the like, who carry on small practices and need support, and don't usually finish up selling their works of art, for example, in expensive galleries in Chelsea and Manhattan for millions of dollars, but need support. I suppose that's the other side of this whole story.
Yeah, we did announce a strategy last year, and it was backed by $54 million of funding. So a significant amount of funding going into that, and some of the infrastructure builds that I talked about. But look, this will be the next couple of months. We'll be spending time talking to people, getting out, understanding what the strategic issues are, what the resource implications are. But I think someone who cares about the creative industries, I'm hugely excited about that.
I'm sure you're going to get lots of invitations to events where people will want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Heritage. I'm on a mission, as you probably know, to save the South Fremantle Power Station. It's sitting down there derelict. I appointed myself the honorary minister responsible for its preservation. Do you have some interest in it?
Of course, I have interest in it, and I'd like to see it maintained. I mean, it's a fantastic building. There's no question about that. As with any built heritage asset, the investment in it and reuse is important. And one of the challenges with that particular site is in the development alternatives is that there's a substation next to it, which is big and ugly, and still in good working order. So I did have a briefing not that long ago from Development WA, who talked about the sort of implications of that. So look, I will keep a close eye on that. But as with any heritage restoration and development, we need to have a sustainable model. So that's what we're going to have to look at. It's not just a matter of pouring government money into it.
The substation is the traditional for many years, what I would call an excuse for doing nothing. You've got this large area that sits there. It has to be resolved. It needs a champion, Simone. Aged care and seniors. Do you have to do much in aged care and seniors? A lot of the money
absolutely
comes.
Absolutely, yeah. So, look, seniors are about making sure that, and generally people 65 and over, in increasing demographic in our community, in the Western world, so making sure they've got a voice in government, they're considered, their voices are heard. But aged care is a new portfolio for Western Australia because it's funded and regulated by the federal government, but it has implications for many state services, particularly our hospitals. Mm. So we're underdone with a number of aged care places and beds that we have in Western Australia. So my job is to put some focus onto that and make sure that we get an increased investment in WA.
Women. What are the big issues at the moment in the portfolio?
Well, there's many issues. I had this portfolio for 6 years, and it's something I'm really passionate about, gender equity, making sure that women and girls can reach their full potential. We've come a long way, but there's still a long way to go. And previously I had the portfolio of domestic violence, and that's probably the most stark reminder that we still have a way to go in our society while there's that gender-based violence against women. Sadly, there's still many examples where we are not equal partners in and participants in our community. Gender pay gap is real. It's slightly improved, but there's still a long way to go. I'm proud in WA we've 50% of our... I haven't looked at the current stats, but in the last parliament, 50% of the Legislative Assembly in the State Parliament was women for the first time. And we had our first speaker as a woman. And Labor's delivered that. I mean, no other party has delivered that.
Yeah. Well, the last state election here, there were women everywhere.
Yeah, in Fremantle.
Might have been a couple of men, but they never surfaced. Their names were on the ballot.
Didn't stand a chance.
No, it didn't stand a chance. Industrial relations, it's a sort of a steady area so far as regulation is concerned here, but what are the issues that are likely to come up?
So in the state system, the State Act still covers state public sector workers and local government workers and very small private industries or unincorporated private industries, so it's partnerships and the like. Mm. But there's still a lot of people employed in that area, and so the State Act covers them. But essentially, it's public sector bargaining and also workplace health and safety, which is a huge area I care a lot about and know quite a bit about too.
So when the nurses and the like were out demonstrating, that's the sort of bargaining we're talking about.
Exactly. Last year, we reached pay agreements for about 170,000 public sector workers. And there was a bit of publicity about that, but not a lot. And that's because we were able to reach good agreements with people, with their representatives, their unions, most of which, they were all supported by votes in the end, by the membership of those particularly respective areas. I was really proud of being able to do that over a year.
Well, I'm one of those people. I don't think I'm unique who admire people who go and stand for public office. It's great to see the process of democracy working. But it must take a toll. I mean, you know that election's coming up. You hear at some point that you're going to have a Voices for Fremantle candidate running against you. You're having to, like a football coach, plan your strategies and how you're going to handle all of these things. And then you eventually get to election day. And this time around, we had all of the drama. WA Electoral Commission seemed to have stuffed some things up. We'll find out more about what they did or didn't do from a parliamentary inquiry, no doubt, before long. But how did you survive it all? I suggest in the shipping news that you and Kate Hewlett probably went off and had an ice bath to get over it. Was it pretty tough, I imagine?
Physically, it was quite tough, actually. And I remember on the early voting, which went for 2 weeks, and it was quite hot. I remember sort of commenting to someone that it felt like a kind of episode of Political Survivor or something. Because we were all standing there. It was hot. Volunteers were there, but we wanted to make sure people knew how to vote for us and how to vote formally. I think it was really, really important. It's tough, but and it's hard not to resort to cliches, but I have a really good team around me. So people would have seen my campaign manager, young guy Matt Clark, and one of my staff who took leave to participate, Lauren Bettridge. I have other colleagues, obviously, within WA Labor, like my other ministerial colleagues and other party members, that we all support each other, and it makes a huge difference. But I've got an enormous Labor family here. Josh Wilson supported me, Lisa O'Malley, you know, David Scaife, other MPs in the area. We all support each other, and we work really hard to make sure that when people need a hand, that they're that's extended. And and also people in the community were lovely, like really great.
When a football team, the AFL for example, wins the premiership, or even if they don't, they seem to let their hair down by having Mad Monday. It usually finishes up in the tabloids for the ridiculous things they do. But do you have an equivalent? That you can talk about?
Yeah, look, certainly when we were doing the count, there was, I was sort of joking that during the day there was sort of a bit of stress eating, and then it degenerated into gin and tonics later on in the day. But the reality of now being sworn in as a new minister is back on the horse.
Well, that was my next question. Do you get any chance to get a breather in all of this? I suppose Easter's not too far away and you might be able to.
Yeah, and I've booked a night at Rottnest in a couple of weeks, and a couple of nights in Rottnest actually, and I will get to take some annual leave. So if you're a minister, you sort of ask to take leave, and another minister takes your formal responsibilities. So I will get to take some leave at some stage.
Well, I know you are, but I hope you're sort of not too rusted on as a Fremantle Dockers supporter. It might be a very stressful year.
That could be stressful. I'm going to the Derby, actually, so
I could be even more stressful.
Yeah.
Simone McGuirk, once again, congratulations on being returned as the MLA for state seat of Fremantle, and your new ministerial appointments. We'll all look forward to hearing more about those, in particular, in the weeks, months, and years ahead. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks.